The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
El Ídolo!
Let me tell you about who deserves a shot at the United States heavyweight.
Let's hear it.
I'm the champion. I ought to know. You know, I've been sizing up guys since I came to the WCW. And I think the one guy that stands out the most, the guy that I think has earned a title shot, El Dandy, I think you're a heck of a wrestler. You're a great technician in the ring, and you're a jam-up guy. Whoa. I don't see any reason.
Wait a minute. El Dandy has been wrestling in the cruiserweight division here. Please.
He's a great wrestler.
He's a great wrestler, but my goodness sakes, it's 50 pounds
different. Who are you to doubt El Dandy? Because this guy's a serious professional.
Well, let's talk about some serious
contenders. How about hypnosis? Let's get thrown.
Psychosis?
Whatever. He's a great wrestler. You know.
Welcome to the WrestleCast, and this is episode 131. I'm De Laurenti. Of course, you can find the WrestleCast on CSPN.us. You can also find us at thewrestlecast.tumblr.com. You can also find us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, and any way that podcasts are subscribed to, downloaded, listened to, rated, and reviewed through devices such as computers, laptops. All right, I'm joined, as always, by the SmackDown Matters correspondent, the lovely Dee Dee Jeanette.
Hello, friends.
What's up, friends? How you been?
I'm good. I'm a little tipsy.
Oh, everybody in this mug getting tipsy. The strikes are finished. What you got tonight?
Oh, I'm ready.
Okay, good. Yeah. Good. Wine, liquor?
Red wine, but if I'm done before we're done, then I'm going to switch to vodka and... Is it guava mango juice I have? It's something Sedetti.
You're going to call?
Yeah, I'm going to switch it up. If I run out, and I'm pretty sure I will.
We're joined by the Jarobi of the podcast, none other than Mr. Magnum Prime.
What's up, Greg?
So, hey, how can you miss me if I don't go away?
Hey, man. Glad that you're back, making a comeback in the territory. You're the wildfire Tommy Rich of the rest of the cast.
Appreciate it.
Set it off every time you come in, and then you leave and go away, and then you come back again. And last but not least, we are joined by the chairman, none other than Classic Materia himself. What's going on, Classic?
If I could be serious for a minute, I'm back from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. Had a great time in the Great White North. Met some great whites up north, so to speak. It's good to be back on the WrestleCast. Greg, I see you've been touring the territories, and I'm glad to have you back on the show. And, of course, Don, glad you're still hosting. And hello, Dee Dee.
Hey, Chairman.
How you doing?
I'm good. I feel like we have, like, a Vince McMahon Trish Stratus thing going on, and I want to, like...
I was thinking more Triple H, but I really don't know any moves to show you, so...
No, but it's very, like, hey, Chairman. Like, I don't want anybody to, like, you know...
As long as you don't take her over your knee,
I've listened to a few episodes. She's been a little out of line, but I'll save that for the annual review.
Here's my line. You remember when he had, like, had her in a collar and like barking like a dog? Like, that's where I draw the line. That's a bridge too far for me.
And this segment's been brought to you by Adam Need Toys.
Sometimes you got to get it in early.
Need to spice things up on the podcast. But again, I'm glad to be back here because I actually decided I was going to watch some wrestling this week and talk about it. And I got a few things to say, so I'm glad to be here, glad to share with you guys. And, you know, let's get into it, man.
All right, so we're going to start off with some news. We had big news. Cody finally signed an exclusive deal. He signed that exclusive deal with Ring of Honor. So that means that he can still fulfill his New Japan dates and be a part of the Bullet Club in Japan and in America for Ring of Honor. A lot of people thought that he was going to go with Impact, but that did not work out. Speaking of Impact, they've tried to start some new alliances with Global Force Wrestling. They've also got a deal with AAA and a couple of other Mexican promotions trying to get some talent exchanges going on and breathe some life into the TNA product, so we'll see how that goes. Classic, you tortured yourself and watched some TNA. How do you feel about their product going forward, sir?
In between episodes of Chop Canada, which is, by the way, a great show, I did catch some TNA Impact Wrestling last week, and I saw that the Jarretts announced that there was a merger with Global Force Wrestling, which kind of made sense. The Jarretts are back in the fold, Jeff Karen, so to bring their talent with them. And so we did get to see some GFW talent show up on the show, the return of Sanjay Dutt, the player from the Himalayas. And although Global Force Wrestling is kind of like Shimmer in Dee's eyes, they don't really exist. They did have some links and some relationships with AAA and New Japan and other, you know, parts of the world. So they can use that, leverage a lot of those relationships and get some talent on board. So, you know, it basically means Impact still has a, you know, kind of a stay of execution. With that, the injection of funding from the Owl, they'll be around for a little while longer. Although the mantra is still F that Owl, if you're following the Hardys at all.
All right. Speaking of talent at Impact, we had some departures as we had Maria Kanellis and her husband Michael Bennett, The Miracle, are slated to show up in WWE on SmackDown. So be looking forward to that in the next few months. And in the unfortunate news, we have an update on Shibata. Of course, he had that great match with Okada a couple of weeks ago at Sakura Genesis. You can find the review at Cast of Strong Style, hashtag Miyamoto. Talked about this great match, great spot, but it turned out to be tragic as Shibata had a subdural hematoma. He is still in the hospital. That's been 3 weeks ago since we had that match. And he still doesn't have full function of his right side. So doesn't look good for him to ever wrestle again. It's going to be hard for him to get cleared once he does regain full control of his body. So just an unfortunate injury. And it's such a bad time because, as fans know, he worked so hard to get to the main event and finally get a shot at the title. And his first chance, he basically wrestled a classic and is probably going to not be able to wrestle anymore. So that's an update on Shibata, and that was our news. So we're going to roll into Monday Night Raw from Kansas City. The show starts with a recap of what Braun has done the past 2 weeks leading up to the match with the Big Show and the ring exploding. Then Chris Jericho starts the show with the highlight reel where he talks about getting payback on Kevin Owens, and then The Miz walks out. Miz says the Raw is no longer Jericho. It hasn't been since him and Maurice came over from SmackDown. Miz says the highlight reel has been replaced by Miz TV. They change over the set, and The Miz is about to introduce the show when Dean Ambrose comes out. He turns Miz TV into the Ambrose Asylum, with the guest being Jericho, The Miz, and Maurice. So, classic. Those guys were really, like, on the ball with, like, changing those sets over. I see how they get those purple, those ropes purple so fast on and off.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny because I was tweeting at the time, shout out to hashtag Rawcast, that even though, you know, they had the, you know, the highlight reel and they were changing them to TV, that I missed the old wrestling shows that used to take place not in the ring but kind of like on the stage or on the, you know, kind of the entrance ramp or where the entrance ramp was, like the original Piper's Pit, the Flower Shop, and like the Snake Pit. None of that was in the ring. It was kind of like they had a set outside the ring. But the fact that it kind of impressed me that they were able to flip over these shows between these shows so quickly, that was kind of fun. And you know, The fact that they're doing it in front of you, it just it gave some good shine to the ring crew and shows like their skills. So I like that it put them on display. I like that the fact that the rub is being given to these guys behind the scenes. You know, so for anyone that's watching, you know, that those are the people that are making those ropes fancy and putting the trampoline there for Sin Cara. I don't know if he still uses a trampoline or not, and making things happen. So good on them. You know, otherwise that segment would have been trash.
So, Dean gives Jericho a gift. It's a brand new light-up jacket to replace the one he tore up last year. Miz complains about Ambrose time as an Intercontinental Champion. Dean says that he's got a gift for the Miz and gives him the dirty deeds. Jericho does him one better and adds Maurice to the list. So, Didi, I know that was the highlight of one of your moments. Was this. But let's talk about this jacket, Fashion Cast. Thumbs up, thumbs in the middle, thumbs down.
Dean's jacket that he gave?
Yes.
Jericho. I would give it a 1 out of 5 stars. But the thought was nice.
It was like TJ Maxx meets Walgreens, that jacket.
Yeah, very Walgreens. Like, you know how, like, you got to give somebody a Christmas gift, but you don't care about them, so you didn't go to the store, so you got to go to, like, the CVS and get it from that section in the front. It was very that.
Yeah, well, but those lights weren't even in season. They were like from the, they were from seasonal, but they were from the back. Like, you, it's almost spring now, and you're like, you got holiday lights, and they go back in the back, and they're like, oh, we got these leftover lights that we didn't sell in December. Here you have these, and then you go to TJ Maxx, you know, where your aunt takes me shopping every Thursday, and then you get a nice blazer and tack it up. That's what Jericho. That's what Ambrose did. Ambrose, I see. I know he shops at TJ Maxx. I see him there with your aunt.
What'd you think about that segment?
Well, you know, anytime you can somehow involve lights from the Dollar Tree, I'm up for that.
Yeah, it was very thoughtful. But Jericho did reveal that he still owes him, what, $15,000 for that his light-up jacket?
The jacket, large, yes.
Jeez. I'm surprised Jericho isn't, like, shaking out Ambrose backstage. And like remember how Stewie wanted that... wanted that money for Brian and start beating him up all the time. So, you got my money?
Have my money by 5 o'clock.
Yes. Yeah, I'm going to beat your ass every time I see you until I get
my money. Every damn time until I get payments.
Oh, that's the Zebo philosophy.
Yes.
Exactly.
All right. So, we got Matt Hardy versus Sheamus in our first match of the night. Matt Hardy takes exception to Sheamus' tactics on Matt Hardy on the outside. He causes Cesaro to get up on the apron, which distracts Sheamus and allows Matt to hit the Twist of Fate to get the win.
Bam.
Yes.
So we'll take a pause and take a drink for the cause.
Yes. I'm sponsored by Modelo Especial this evening.
I would be drinking a Rebels Sam Adams IPA.
Oh, shout out to Beer It Is.
Yes, shout out.
Yeah. Drink with the pinky out.
We get Kurt Angle on the phone. He gets interrupted by Ms. Maryse, who are upset about how Dean and Jericho treated him earlier. Angle tells him to find a partner because he's facing Jericho and Ambrose. Anything you want to add about that Matt Hardy Sheamus match? I'm sorry, I moved on kind of fast on that one. Anybody? Anyone?
I like that there were shades of broken Matt. You know, he was doing the yes and the you know, kind of doing the delete hand motion. So he was like kind of giving a little bit to the crowd, but not going full broken Matt. But it was delightful to see it, to say the least. And the fact that the partners were involved, their tag team partners on the outside, you know, this really does, you know, lend some momentum for the big event on Sunday, you know, and kind of puts in doubt, like, who, if the Hardys will retain or if Sheamus and Cesaro will get their another shot at the titles.
All right, we get Neville and TJ Perkins versus Jack Gallagher and Austin Aries. Gallagher kept after a super kick attempt. Gallagher then spins TJ Perkins around where Austin Aries hits him with the roaring five arm and they get the win. I like the way they switched it up this week, put like, you know, some cruiserweights in a tag team match, gave it a little different flavor, a little bit more action. Jack Gallagher actually did a spot that actually you haven't seen before where he, you know, used his legs to basically senton TJ Perkins into Neville. That was a spot. So,
yeah. So, are we like, fully, or is anyone feeling TJ Perkins as a heel? I kind of have opinions about him as a baby face.
I know he's your man because of the video game stuff, but
I want to steal his entrance theme, but I don't like him. I'm like, you're an okay wrestler, but your theme and your entrance music, all that, you know, like I want to just get into wrestling just so I could steal it from him.
He's officially the owner of the Paw Patrol though, as Don Victor has labeled him through Twitter memes and stuff.
But he's kind of like Anakin Skywalker a little bit, where, you know, he's like following Neville to the dark side and everything, but he doesn't seem like a evil person, so he's still kind of like, yeah, you know, I'm evil now, and you're like kind of like, yeah, but you still dress like you're 12, I don't know. but the fact that he does the dab, does that make him more of a villain now?
It still makes him corny. What do you think, Greg?
For sure. But hey, I've met plenty of evil 12-year-olds though.
Yeah.
That's something going for
them. And they still dab on you?
Yes, they still do that. Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
And Dee Dee, what's your gimmick again?
I am a grown-ass woman.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we move on to Kalisto versus Braun in a dumpster match. Kalisto reverses the Braun power slam. You know, he, like, falls back inside the ring. And then Kalisto kicks Braun's legs out from under him, and he lands feet first in a dumpster. And Kalisto wins the match. Then Braun whips his ass and tosses him into the dumpster. Braun closes the lid and pushes the cart up the ramp. Then Braun pushes the dumpster off of the ramp. So they basically reenacted the Cactus Jack, Terry Funk, or Chainsaw Charlie, New Age Outlaws angle from 20 years ago or so. But the part that they got pushed off of originally was much higher and much more dangerous, as Terry Funk was hurt in the in that particular angle.
They fell out the dumpster too. Like they you actually saw them kind of like fall out, and you see the hand out the dumpster, right. Whereas Braun kind of locked the dumpster with Kalisto in it, which you're kind of like left up to the Braun Strowman will Braun Smash. That's like, this is just more of the wrecking that he's been doing. He's flipping ambulances. He's like throwing dumpsters, and when's it going to stop?
It should never stop.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, sorry. I got a question for G. G, is this a bad booking for him to lose this match, even though like he got all, the spots at the end?
Yeah, I definitely think it was a bad idea. I mean, after he lifted up the ambulance, it's like, how can you ever have him lose again? I know he has to, but if you're looking at it from him just being an ass kicker, the man just lifted up an ambulance. Like, no one should be able to beat him. And, on Monday you had that to happen. I mean, it would have been different if Roman would have there and if he would have caused, the finish to that match, but he didn't. It was silly.
I disagree. I mean, I think it was a waste of Kalisto because he was thrown in the trash last week, and then now he's like he gets kind of myrtleized again with this dumpster spot. But it's similar to how Rey Mysterio is always that giant killer, where Kalisto still gets the victory, but Braun still looks strong as hell throughout the match. And it's like kind of like a technicality, like, oh, well, your feet are in the dumpster now, so you've lost. Like, Braun was, and it only pissed Braun off even further. I don't think Braun even cares about wins and losses. It's one of those things where he's kind of like how Bray Wyatt was for a while. Like, he didn't need the title to be over. Just the fact that he's just wrecking shop, and Kalisto still doesn't look like, kind of like a squash bug, even though he is technically. But at least Kalisto can turn around and say, well, I've got a victory over Braun Strowman, and a lot of you don't. And it keeps him in the heavyweight title picture, although he'll probably have to recover.
What was your opinion, Miss Dee Dee? The Braun match. The dumpster match.
Oh, the dumpster match. Hey, look, did we talk about the dumpster?
Yes, we talked. Yes, we already talked about
it. Yeah, that dumpster had a family, damn it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, do we think he was in the dumpster?
I know this is your thing. You always want to love, you want to know about the match.
I need to know.
I don't know how. I don't know how they could have pulled that one off.
Like, why would you lock it? I feel like maybe you're locking it because, right, I feel like you're locking it because you don't want anybody to see the padding, or you're either locking it because you don't want anybody to see inside of it to know he ain't in it. I feel like it's one of the two.
Maybe the first one, because like Classic said, when they did it with Cactus Jack and them, they kind of almost fell out, so it was kind of dangerous. But it showed that they were still in it, though. But
yeah, it's like, but she does mention, she makes a good point. If there's padding or like the styrofoam packing peanuts all up in there, it does take away from the effect of the dumpster being used. Like, oh well, it's padded dumpster, so it's like it's not even a big fall. But I'm sure he like ducked out underneath the trapdoor, underneath the ramp or something. Hornswoggle probably like freed him, and they, sat down there and played cards and stuff and discussed his new. Did you guys catch his new outfit, his ring gear, and his kind of, I guess, techno theme or something? Like, Lucha was kind of remixed. I'm sure Samuel would love that.
Oh yeah. Ring gear was pretty hot.
Yeah. So I'm telling you, Kalisto is he's got a one victory streak right now, and when he comes back from this from nursing his wounds, he's going to be stronger than ever. So you watch out.
When he comes back from getting stretchered out,
yes,
the full body cast.
When he
needs the full body cast.
Well, he got some. He went to the Shining Stars or the Colognes as they are now, and got some passes to their resorts. So he's going to spend a few weeks off and sip some Mai Tais and be back stronger than ever. He's gunning for that. US title.
All right. Speaking of from one person who got stretched out to another, we have a Roman Reigns video package as they try to create some sympathy and empathy for Roman Reigns as they show these kids with the go Roman go signs. I don't know if it's going to work, Vince. I don't know if it's going to work. Get Bray Wyatt. He does a promo on Jumbotron about the House of Horrors match this Sunday on Work Payback. #TheBigPayCast. Next up, Dana Brooke versus Alicia Fox. Good to see Alicia Fox wrestling, and a good week for Alicia Fox to wrestle as her number one fan, the chairman of Classic Materia, chose this week to watch wrestling. See how that works, folks?
Miss Foxy got my text and she was like, I'm going to be in action, boo. Don't worry about it. And I was front center Monday night with the popcorn ready, and I was not disappointed. But she broke up with Noam Dar, so, you know, there it is.
Mm-hmm.
Trifecta.
There you go, man. Miracles happen every day.
Mm-hmm. But she did not get the victory here. You know, she did her job.
Unfortunately, it would have taken a miracle for Dana to hit this Mikanochu driver cleanly, but she did hit it for her finisher, and she got the win. And then after the match, Emma comes down and gave Dana an awkward hug, as, you know, she's trying to get Dana back her good graces so they can be a tag team again. Aditi, Alicia Fox, Fashion Cast, how was the weave this week? Any improvement?
No improvement.
Hater.
Greg, Dana Brooke, any improvement?
No. Okay. She's trying real hard, though. I'll say it. She's trying real hard. Yeah. She believes in herself.
I like how they referenced the scissor kick, the attempt at a scissor kick by Miss Foxy, and they asked Booker about it. He's like, yeah, that does look familiar. Like, she didn't even barely get it off, but they were already telegraphing the scissor kick off the ropes in commentary. So you could tell that they pretty much were going off the script, but it was like, she kind of sort of attempted a scissor kick. He's like, yeah, it kind of looks familiar. You know, but I'm sure Booker was, like, planning his mayoral run. He wasn't even paying attention to the match. So good on you, Booker. Politics.
Yeah, trying to beat the big cheese in Houston.
That's right.
So we have Samoa Joe and the Good Brothers. They get a backstage promo on their six-man tag match versus Enzo, Big Cass, and Seth Rollins. So, Didi, how big of a markout was this? Like, all your, like, most of your bays on one team.
I appreciate that when they do that for me. It happens so rarely. But they just bless them.
And if you're hashtag Hill Life,
mm-hmm, I am.
So pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good trio.
So I got it on both sides. Like, I got my baby faces, but I do believe in a heel.
Yes.
I stand. So good.
So we get Enzo and Cass and Seth Rollins versus Samoa Joe and the Good Brothers. The Good Brothers and Joe attack Cass and Enzo on their walk to the ring. They give Enzo a magic killer on the floor. Okay. Seth gets introduced. He comes down and him and Cass clear the ring. And then they go out and check on Enzo before going to break. It was ruled that Enzo was able to compete. How about that, folks?
They caught him outside.
So Kurt Angle has to replace him, and he replaces him with Finn Balor. So now we have Cass, Seth Rollins, and Finn Balor versus Samoa Joe and the Good Brothers. It all breaks down, of course. We get, you know, the zigzag across all three men, you know, everybody getting in their big spots. Rollins debuts his new finisher as he goes for the pedigree on Carl Anderson, but though he changes his mind, I'm calling to Carl Anderson, and they get the win. It's basically like the Rainmaker, where he has his wrist, spins him around, but instead of a clothesline, he gives him a high knee.
Yeah.
That's his new finisher.
And Kenny Omega took to Twitter and acknowledged the similarities, but at least Kenny Omega still has his entrance theme. So there's that.
It's like,
it is, you know, but however, and also, therefore, I got to call foul on the play, us continuity marks that happen to like watch the product and have been doing so for years, or at least know things. I think we realized that there's a problem with Finn Balor siding with the guy that injured him in a tag team, six-man tag, against two of his former mates from the Boulet Club.
Yeah, there's a lot of cross-pollination that happened there.
Like, of all people and of all times, I understand Finn needs to get some work in and, you know, kind of show that he's not, completely on the shelf, or that stay active because he's coming off that concussion, which honestly, they should just give him time off, or he's just coming off time off. But they should they need to protect him a little bit more. So six man tag is a good way to do that. But yeah, you don't go against your mates and tag up with the same guy that injured you. That just, I don't know if they ever had a backstage segment where he was like, I forgive you for injuring me so many months ago, Seth Rollins. None of that. You know,
No, they need you for quality control, sir.
Yeah, I'm busy on Mondays, but you know, that one day I was actually paying attention. I was just like, you know what? They need me or Keith Holt Jr. to like fix this, because you guys, whoever's in the writer's room, they're just eating on Cheetos or whatever the sponsor is for that show. They're not really paying attention, and it saddens me, because, you know,
this is always lit.
Yes, exactly. You know, so Funyuns. Funyuns or what? Or Fritos?
Yes, sir.
Fritos, like the corn chips?
Uh-huh. Yep.
Oh, geez, that's a tough one, because I say Funyuns.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's a real one, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, we just passed 420, and, you know, if I did partake of that kind of stuff, I'd want Funyuns first. Fritos remind people too much of feet. I'm a grown man, so I'm not worried about that. You know, like, I got a different gimmick, but, you know, I'm not like, oh, that reminds me of feet. Nah. No, I mean, yeah, I can see how it is for you, but I'll just get some Funyuns anyway.
All right. So we get Alexa Bliss. She comes out, gets promo on Bayley, which causes Bayley to come out. Bayley comes to her response, and that causes our boo, Sasha Banks, to come out. Sasha comes out, and she challenges Alexa to a match. Alexa says, oh, well, she's going to go to the back and talk to Kurt Angle just to go get it canceled. And as she starts to on her and lays it down with the hard right hand. Bay on bay violence is very difficult to take. Y'all just don't understand. So many emotions I go through watching this happen. So we get Sasha Banks versus Alexa Bliss. Sasha gets the win by count out after Alexa Bliss walks out after she escaped the bank statement. Bayley, who was doing commentary, tries to drag Alexa to the ring, but Alexa like scurries to the back. And just when Bayley turns her back, Alexa attacks her from behind, and Sasha has to chase Alexa away. So Dee Dee.
Mm-hmm.
Give us a synopsis. What's rule number one?
Don't turn your back on me, Mufasa.
Now,
when these kids will ever learn.
What do you think about the match? I guess the promo, the lead up to the match was probably a little bit better than the actual match.
Yeah.
With them talking junk to each other and then...
The thing of it is now me and Finn have a problem, and it's all my fault because I'm the one who told him about Sasha and her voice and how garbled it is. And so, like... when I hear her, like, that's all I hear. But if I can erase how she sounded, what she said was good.
Okay.
And I did like the interplay, and I did like the kind of snide looks that they, like, gave each other. I loved Alexa, like, I don't know if I should, like,
I have a feeling they don't really like each other, like, for real, for real. Yeah, I feel like they don't really.
Well, that's fine.
Yeah,
who needs to like each other?
Has Alexa ever been on Up, Up, Down, Down? Unrelated, but, you know, like, and probably a little inappropriate. But has, you know, like that Sasha and Bayley are always on that show playing video games, and like Alexa Bliss has never like hung out with them backstage or nothing. You know, I feel like maybe she's not as friendly backstage as some of the other girls are.
Yeah, well, if there's any problems, she rolls around with Nia Jax, so I think she's got it covered.
Yeah, and she's golden in the ring as far as, like, on the mic and, you know, having a great personality and playing off the heel character a lot. I think she's adding some flavor to this because otherwise the Bayley-Sasha thing would have just been stale, and they're just both, like, holding the title until, you know, Nia Jax just destroys either of them.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think this does, you know, lend some you know, some cushion to the women's division as far as there's a lot of talent on board, and they can continue to shine on Raw, because SmackDown, as we can see later, is they're gunning for that to keep their top spot as the best women's division even with this shakeup.
Right. Gee, I'm gonna ask you this, so drop this on you. Alexa Bliss is Lauren, shows up to her performances.
Is she what?
She's Lauryn Hill, but she actually shows up to her performances because she dropped the two clowns.
Oh, wow.
Well,
wow.
Now, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, even then, once she was the tag team, she was still the star.
Yeah. But, I mean, she shows up to her performances now. We should check her in, like, 5 years.
Oh.
All right. So we get Dean and Chris Jericho backstage segment. Get off the list. Because he, you know, brought the jacket as a peace offering, and Jericho is still like, nah, I mean, you still made that 15 grand, and this is an ink. Nobody who's on the list gets off the list. But he pantomimes that he takes him off the list, and then he put him back on. So that was pretty good. Then we get Miz trying to recruit Heath Slater and Kurt Axel to be his partner for the match tonight. They have Maurice and your boy Rhino back there with those cheese and crackers, Didi.
Ooh. I mean, he likes spray cheese, but, you know.
Yeah.
We take what we can get.
The Miz gets handed a note, and the note has the name of his partner on it. And he kind of smiles cunningly and, you know, walks off. So then we get our boy Kurt Hawkins. He issues another superstar challenge, and Apollo Crews answers. Apollo Crews versus Kurt Hawkins. Crews wins with the sit-out powerbomb. Titus comes down to hype up the victory. They take a selfie together. There are some great captions for the selfie. One was like, this is what happens. This is what it looks like when you become a first-round draft pick and your father shows back up in your life.
Just be worthy. Yeah.
So, yeah. I actually hope that actually turns out to be something pretty good, man. Titus, I think, as a manager, might actually be the way to go with him, kind of like a hype man, kind of like Famous B, Greg.
Yeah.
You know, kind of build up a stable of like kind of mid-card guys who he helps get a few victories here and there, just enough victories to say that, hey, man, you're still winning with me before.
The Titus brand, you know, you can build it off that.
You can build, man. You can build.
Yeah. Build, fam. Yeah, if he starts doing that. You know what's funny about this, too? Kurt Hawkins keeps losing these matches, but he shows up in the ring with an illegal foreign object in his hand each time. And I'm like, you could leverage that to like a near victory or something. Like, just keep, don't you put that in the corner when you start wrestling? Most people that show up with foreign objects like that, like a megaphone or a bullhorn or a whip or a snake or a cane, they kind of inject that into the match. He just shows up, gets squashed. And then like, what are you using the walking stick for? What a waste.
Well,
yeah.
Like I said last week, Kurt Hawkins may be a jobber every Monday night, but he's always a winner on the 15th and 30th.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, winner at the bank. I hear you.
All right, so Dean Ambrose and Chris Jericho versus Miz and his mystery partner, which is our main event. Miz announces his partner, but nobody comes out. Miz says that the match will have to be postponed, and he goes to leave the ring. Kurt Angle comes down. He tells Miz that he's going to wrestle regardless if he has a partner or not. So basically, after they treat the Miz like a freaking tennis ball between Chris Jericho and Dean Ambrose, the Miz tries to escape up the ramp. Ambrose sets him up for the dirty deeds on the announcer table, but the lights flash and Bray Wyatt appears and throws Dean into the LED board. Then Miz and Bray double team Jericho, and Bray gives him the sister Abigail. Bray poses in the ring over the fallen Jericho, and then Miz kind of joins him, smiling, patting him on the shoulder. And then Bray gives Miz the sister Abigail and is posing on his knees over him. And that is our closing scene of Monday Night Raw. Mm-hmm. So, Greg, what'd you think about this for Go Home Show, man?
I thought it was a little bit convoluted because the close of it didn't really highlight the main event. Well, actually, I guess we had to talk about that because what's going to be the main event? Is it going to be Reigns and Braun, or is it going to be for the title?
The title isn't up for the match, man. That's a non-title. Talking about House of Horrors match, it's a non-title.
Yeah. Okay, it's not a horror. Okay. Because yeah. It was nice to have the payoff in that match where you have Bray coming out being the mystery partner. I thought that was cool, but it didn't make me want to see him on the pay-per-view anymore, you know? So that was kind of weird.
It would have been cooler if they would have had, like, Kevin Owens somehow, like, jump the rail.
Yeah, yeah. I'm with you there. That would have injected more energy into it.
Right, right. So, Didi, how many gummy bears this week?
See, when Finn is there, he messes with the average.
You're on a curve.
Yeah. I'll give it 8.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll give it 8. I'm in a good mood. I'll give it 8.
Yeah, the wine must be talking to you.
Listen, red wine gets you drunker than white wine.
Tannins. It's the tannins.
It's the resveratrol. It's also the thing that keeps you healthy. It's why all them foreign people are looking good because they're drunk. And it, like, preserves the skin.
Yes. Classic, how'd you feel about this episode of Raw?
As far as episodes go, it was okay. I mean, it wasn't like the wildness that of the previous couple weeks with Braun flipping the ambulance. Braun still looked like a beast. The Hardys, you know, still got their stuff in. And we got to see some cruiserweight action. It was a good balanced episode. Nothing too wretched-inducing other than the commentary, which is always that I watch Raw on a low volume anyway, or all these shows on a low volume because I can't stand any of the commentators. But that's kind of why I made the WrestleCast to begin with. So I would say a good 3 hours right there.
Yeah, I thought it was rather weak for a go-home show. Like Greg said, the kind of final angle was kind of flat because really none of the people are going to be wrestling each other at Backlash. So I don't know.
Yeah,
it just kind of seemed kind of weak. So
the lack of the actual WWE I guess we call it the Universal Champion does take away from this from this pay per view. But it's like you got to do this every other month as far as Bro's appearance. Right. Rock's appearances. So I think they did a pretty good job of, kind of making some things stable about it and hyping up some things. But yeah, this was your typical 3-hour, Raw. It wasn't like nothing special about it really. And this House of Horrors thing, this just says, oh, well, Bray is the top star here. And you guys might've forgot about him, but we didn't.
Not having the Universal title isn't a big deal to me if they make everything else seem big and they do everything else right. Yeah. Only thing they just need to do is have Brock come out, cut a promo once a month just to remind everybody, hey, I got the belt, him and Heyman. He does this little thing where he bounces around with the belt around his waist. Then they go back out and until they figure out, the path of who they want them to face. But, I grew up with the title not being on any of the shows that I watched growing up, so it's not a big deal. I don't need to see. I'm of the generation where I don't really need to see all these great, quote-unquote, matches every week.
Yeah.
Show me some people win a lot. Show me some good promos. And then when they get to the pay-per-view, pay it off.
Yeah.
Real simple. That's me, though. So now we're going to go to SmackDown Matters. Hash to the tag. Miss Didi Belair.
Yeah, hash the tag. SmackDown Matters. Hashtag my neighbors is arguing. Hashtag they about 60 years old. Hashtag.
This one sounds like when doves cry.
Like, they're ridiculous. They really are giving me Prince's parents. Like, what are you doing? Anyway, I had to mention that just in case they get louder and you can hear them, in the background. It's not my TV. It's just the entertainment upstairs. Anyway, SmackDown is in Des Moines. They're annoying. Des Moines, Iowa this week. It starts off as best you could start off with SmackDown with Shinsuke Nakamura. For whatever reason, Renee's introducing me, but that doesn't matter. We get all the music. He's out doing what he does. It's everything. It's all you need. Interrupted by Ziggles. He was mannerly enough to wait until after his music stopped, because that matters. When they try to ask a question, Ziggles snatches the mic from her. She gives it to him and she leaves. And he's like, what are you wearing? What are your references? Ziggles is mad racist, talking about, oh, you can't speak English. Let me translate for you. And so then later, he goes into the story about how, he's from Gary, Indiana. He's got 17 siblings. He's famous. He's a pop star. Oh, he's Michael Jackson. Get it? Get it? Ha, 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 ha.
And as people tweeted, his doctor killed him. Too soon.
That's so weird.
Too soon, internet.
Yeah. Okay, so then Nakamura grabs the mic. With his mouthpiece in, he states, what's your problem? What do you need? He speaks in Japanese and it's like, blah, 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 blah. We don't know what you're saying. Jackass. We know that word. Yes. And so it's fun and it's great and we love Nakamura, and Ziggler tries to kick him. No, he does kick him. And then he tries for a second, but Nakamura hits a reverse exploder. I'm sorry, these people. He goes for the Kinshasa, but the Ziggles lose the ring. And, we're just happy to see Nakamura. It matters.
That's all they have to do. Don't ever show him wrestle.
He doesn't even have to wrestle.
Oh, no. Pay for the network. You'll watch the whole thing.
Yeah, hit the music, dance a little, with the mouthpiece on just in case you want to start some trouble. Prepare it.
Yeah, with some people, they do what I just talked about at the end of the broadcast segment, but they should do it for a whole show or a whole month and just see how it works. It worked for Braun Strowman putting the jobbers in, and some of the jobbers even got over because they had a little bit of personality to them.
Yes, talk about young chinless.
All right, anyone have any problems with this segment? Because I got one major problem. Now, the one thing I didn't mind was Ziggler with his old bullying thing, even though, WWE's about be a star. But Ziggler was channeling his inner Stan Gable with this segment, that Johnny Lawrence where he's just look at this guy, he's weird. And, kind of just making fun of the fact that Nakamura is a big Michael Jackson fan. Although, as I tweeted, if Nakamura is that big into Michael Jackson, you're going to get kicked in the mouth. You keep talking about the King of Pop that way in front of him like that. So, you know, you watch yourself. But the commentator, in fact, it was Renee that introduced him as the artist known as Shinsuke Nakamura. Writer's room. You guys are idiots. The artist is a reference to Prince. The artist formerly known as Prince, or the artist, you know, for short. Nakamura is a Michael Jackson fan. He fashions himself and patterns himself after Michael Jackson. Two different pop stars and legends. What the hell's wrong with y'all? Mm-hmm. So, you know, that was my biggest issue. The writer's room is continuing to not write and sit on their ass and eat Funyuns and Fritos. And apparently, on Raw and SmackDown, they both eat the same type of snacks and crafts and don't actually
get it. Speaking of snacks, Flaming Hot Funyuns.
Oh.
That's the ticket.
Oh.
Oh, yes.
Okay. I'm going to have to pick that up next time I'm in the 7-Eleven.
The Negro quotient when it comes to that one.
A move. Women
hot.
A moment. Wow. Oh, it's amazing. They got a new buyer at our cafeteria, and for like 1 week, we had Flamin' Fritos, Flamin' Fans, Flamin' Doritos. I was like, bitch, I didn't even know they made Flamin' Doritos. Like, there were like seven.
Like, hold up. They got that at the workplace?
They did, just for like a week. They were like, we trying something new. And then they ain't trying to shit no more. Then they went back to Sun Chips. But for that week, like, it was popping. It was great.
You had any thoughts on the opening of SmackDown segment?
Well, I just classic show why he's a chairman. That was a great call on Michael Jackson. Because if you team MJ, you're not trying to hear anything about Prince.
Yeah, what the hell?
I'm team Prince, but that's beside the point. But my biggest thing about it was Nakamura trying to do the interview with the mouthpiece in. I think he's got to take that out.
Nah. As DD tells you, the reason why he got that mouthpiece in all the time, it's right. He's always
ready. You gotta get
ready. That makes a lot of sense. But if he's gonna try to really get over with the crowd even more, you know, he has a nice command of the language, but I think it would be even more helpful if he were to take the mouthpiece out. But you're both right. You know, he's ready to fight.
Yeah, he's out there for an interview. Got the mouthpiece in. That just shows you right there. He's always ready. He ain't taking that, especially with the Ziggler in the ring talking mess. He ain't gonna take that out for nothing.
Yeah, you
know? But Ziggler should have like acknowledged that. Like, hey, what's with the mouthpiece? You know, and then you know he would have got kicked in the face.
But I
want to
fight.
Yeah, that was dope, and I like the fact that you know the crowd just eats him up. It don't matter. It doesn't matter what Nakamura says. He's already over. So it's like, you know, there's nothing you could do or say that's going to turn the crowd against him. And I just like that. I just like the fact that he's being himself and then just being adored by the fans. You know, I'm a big Nakamura fan, as most of us are.
Okay. Well, Nakamura and AJ are getting bigger pops than Orton. Seems like those are the two guys you want to have on a collision course at some point.
Oh, another thing, and I got to give credit to the King on, I don't know if you guys watch What Culture Wrestling, check out their YouTube channel, I think it's WCPW, the King on that show, King Ross, give his name right, said that it's funny that JBL, of all people, said how much more can Shinsuke take of this, of all the people that's worried about someone being bullied, is freaking JBL, so yeah, credit to King Ross on WCPW for that one.
Okay, next match was AJ versus Baron Corbin for reasons. Kevin Owens is on commentary. Corbin's, you know, beating that ass until AJ slips out of a superplex, nails a Pele kick, gets some quick strikes and a forearm for a two count. AJ setting up for the phenomenal forearm when Owens jumps off commentary and gets kind of close to him, close enough for AJ to kick him in the face. There was a distraction. But what had happened was, they set it up like, oh, Baron's going to come from behind and win. No, no, no. AJ was still able to roll him up for the win. That's still a distraction. Still take your drink.
Well, wait. That's a distraction. It's close enough to the finish to be a distraction finish?
Absolutely.
If the word in the review is basically take a drink, that's how we play this game.
I was tweeting. I was like, they OD'd a drink because this one's not a distraction finish. They tried it.
But it's close enough. I saw it. I was like, listen, anytime the person on commentary interferes, that's a distraction.
True. So you're pretty much calling the distraction finish as they walk out as a guest commentator, like as soon as they walk out. True.
I mean, like, unless they're like Becky, you know, like Bailey. Well, no, Bailey got into it the other day. You know who's likely to like interfere and who's likely to just stand there and like stare at people. Like, You know.
This
is distracting me right now. I gotta take another drink.
Okay, that's cool. Great. Okay, so
you doesn't even know why that's funny, does he, Greg?
Well, you know.
I want to be on another joke. Anyway, whatever. So after AJ wins, Baron and Kevin get to beating that ass. Sammy comes out. Our dear chicken comes out to come fight Peter for the millionth time. He hits Baron with the Haluva. Haluva. That's because he's Canadian. Haluva kick. And then Owens, you know, attacks dear chicken from behind. And then Owens lays out AJ with a pop-up powerbomb. So, you know, at least that didn't happen to Sammy. Backstage, Charlotte tells Daisy Fuentes that gold runs through her veins. And she's like, she needs the title to exist. And she's going to complete the drive for five.
Hold up. Daisy Fuentes, is she like taking a break from doing infomercials?
I mean, allegedly her name is Dasha, but I like Daisy better. So
I'm a big fan of Daisy Fuentes. I'm glad she's on the show too.
Yeah, she could do worse. So, she says the match is going to reaffirm that she's the greatest superstar in WWE history. No. But anyway, okay, next is like I'm in my mid feelings about it, but I'm trying to be nice. Okay, next is tag team matches. It's a beat the clock challenge. The team that beats the other team in the fastest time will become number one contenders. There's a second match later. This match is American Alpha versus the Colon. After a while, Jordan intercepts some combo backstabber attempts, and American Alpha hit the grand amplitude for a win. They won in 5 minutes and 17 seconds.
Too damn long. They took too long. But, you know, the Colognes hit the rest holds, which was funny because if the Colognes are participating in this, they can advance in the Beat the Clock Challenge, too. But they're doing rest holds like they're playing spoiler rather than trying to win it themselves.
Oh, well, I mean.
Yeah, so it's like.
Well, I mean.
Yeah. And Primo and Epico are cousins, yes?
Yes.
See.
Yeah, so JBL was like, Carlos Colon is their father.
He's
one of their fathers. Unless there's something Epico's
father,
him.
I think.
Yeah, well, you know, he's
the browner one. One that looks like Carly's.
Hashtag fire JBL. I mean, if you go fire all those people from ESPN, the least you could do is some justice.
Did Coachman get fired?
I don't know. I haven't checked the full list, but, you know, shout out and prayers up for all those that are struggling coming off the ESPN. Not so much the on-air talent, but those that are backstage that have lost their gigs. You know, it's a tough life.
Yep. Sorry, Charlie. Yeah. So then there's like a video from Rusev. He says he doesn't like Daniel Bryan or Shane McMahon. He doesn't agree with the shakeup. And he says he's only going to appear at Money in the Bank if it's a championship match. Otherwise, you're just going to take his ass back to Bulgaria.
You don't know how much I popped for this when he showed up and started talking. He sounded American because I thought he was just going to turn into Big Bartholomew. And we were gonna, and he was gonna talk about he was sitting out for all the chickens in all the southern countries, but it didn't happen. I just like every Southpaw, like anyone that was in Southpaw regional wrestling, and I just hoping they're like, you know, gonna break kayfabe and get to their character from Southpaw.
So you had the pop when Jericho was like, I've been everywhere from Smoky Mountain to Southpaw.
Yes. Tell a click, Bobski. I don't know. I don't know. And I'm sure a lot of people, the 1 million that haven't watched the videos on YouTube, a lot of them were like, huh? Southpaw regional. But yeah, you're about to find out if you haven't already. It's the hottest thing going today.
Y'all are a mess.
We are.
Daisy's backstage talking to Becky about Charlotte. And she's like, yeah, Charlotte's a mess. And I don't agree with how she's going about things. But she's getting the job done and she's doing what she's supposed to do, which is go after the championship. And so then Natty, Tamina, Carmella, and Young Chinless come in and are like, bitch, whose side is you on? What is you doing? Either you're with us or you're against us. Like, it was very, like, they about to jump her into the gang. Like, what you doing? Is you in it? Is you out? Like, you know, it was very bad. So
Baron Corbin, he's no more innocent than Kevin Owens. He's no more innocent than anybody, you know. I feel like it's almost dealing with him. It kind of reminds me of everything I dealt with Braun Strowman on Monday Night Raw. Because I've known Corbin, you know, for a long time. I knew him in NXT. Yeah. And to be honest, he wasn't likable then. And he's certainly not likable now. The only difference is...
In fairness, though, if you ask Baron, he doesn't want friends.
That's fine.
And he doesn't.
Look, okay, fine. Whatever. That's besides the point. The point is he's achieved a certain amount of success. I'll admit, he's done very well for himself here. And I didn't fully realize it until I got here. Sure. But the thing is, now he's got this same sort of thing that Braun Strowman.
Oh my God!
Oh, you want to talk about me?
Huh?
Next is a non-title, no DQ match. Randy Orton versus Eric Rowan. I know you would be shocked to hear that Randy won. I know you are. Let me tell you how it happened. Eric grabbed a kendo stick, whacked Orton with it a few times. There was a table outside the ring. He tried to go for a vertical suplex. Orton fought out of it. Then he hit Eric with the kendo stick. And in the most bullshittest way possible, Eric fell through the table. But it's an ODQ match. The match isn't over. They're doing things. He hits an RKO for the win. Ta-da. Shocked. After the match, Randy says he doesn't know what a House of Horrors match is, but he does know it'll be Bray's Eternal Hell. Then, oh no, we're not done. We're still on All Lives Matter Orton. Then Jinder Mahal comes out, mad that Randy was overlooking him. He says he has more talent and class than anyone in the arena. He's like, yes, you too, Randy. And then the crowd chants USA because they're those kind of white people. And then Jinder says he's disrespected because he looks different, which is by the lie. And also the HGH, but we won't talk about that. Jinder says he would take back his respect and take the WWE world title back to his people. He says some things in languages we don't understand. Tries to take a cheap shot. Orton blocks it, knocks him down, about to hit a draping DDT. But the Singh brothers or the Bollywood boys, depending on if you remember the memo that they told you before you went on air, Tom Phillips. Mahal nails Orton with a Cobra Clutch slam and left with Randy's title in the limo, hanging out.
I read that he botched the name of the title a couple times when he was talking about it.
He did. But the sight of watching three brown dudes stomp out All Lives Matter.
Yes.
That was pretty good. That was pretty good.
Yeah, shout out to Indian Brothers.
I had a bright idea. I had a bright idea that Randy Orton should keep the title. Let him keep the title through the summer. Let him keep the title all the way up through SummerSlam. And then this is when you a singles and Big E beats Randy Orton for the title.
Mm. Book it.
So what do we think about this push that Ginger's getting? Because I feel like a lot of people are like, well, why is he getting a push now when he was just like he had a 52-week losing streak or something, and like, you know, now all of a sudden he comes back and he's jacked and he's like getting a push to the main event.
Again, that's another thing where they got a whole performance center full of people who are ready to do jobs. They could have had people losing to Ginger every week. Just why the hell is Ginger Mahal wrestling? Ginger Mahal wins. Ginder Mahal does a cool move, wins again, wins about three or four matches in a row. Then they trade him up to SmackDown.
Yeah, but they got him leapfrog in the mid card too. It's not like he went for the U.S. or, you know, and yeah, he was in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, like the final two. If anything, Mojo Rawley should be getting a shot. If he's not on the same brand, I don't know.
Bejo.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're trying to get into India, so.
Yeah, it's such a transparent play where they're just like, well, the Indian market. But when they come back from India, what?
Oh, well, they don't know him. Like, I don't know that. That's your man's. That's your man's over there. I don't know.
Yeah, they're gonna be back to, you know, three man band, you know, territory again, and it's gonna be sad, you know. But I mean, if get that money, I'm glad he's actually getting some time and everything, and you know, he's put in the work, whether it's in the gym or. As people are trying to say on the syringe, but I can't call it.
Nobody works harder than Jinder Mahal. Nobody trains harder than Jinder Mahal. Nobody has a better diet than Jinder Mahal. Wow. Haven't you heard him for the last month?
That's true. That's true. Nobody.
Wow.
Nobody.
No one body.
He's going to push now because HGH doesn't pay for itself.
Listen, He is on all of the human growth hormones.
Hey, all of the drugs, allegedly. Like,
all of them.
Yes,
don't allegedly. Allegedly. Yeah,
allegedly. Allegedly. You know what I'm saying? I ain't got money for no legal defense. It's allegedly. Yeah.
That's crazy. I'm looking at him like, is he really even Indian? He looks like a black guy to me. Wow.
That's the finest of Mongolian beef. That's the finest of that's the finest of beef products, as Ric Flair once said during the promo. You know what that is? Genetic products.
Yeah, he on the Ico Pro. I don't know, man. I mean, Shane O'Mac must have some like old packages left over from the 90s that he loaned him or something. But
or he might have got some deer antler spray from Ray Lewis.
There you go.
That worked well for him.
Yeah, Mark McGuire, you know, came through with the Andro. Was like, yo, allegedly.
Allegedly. Anyway, yeah. Do you know he's allegedly younger than me? I don't.
Oh, man, oh. You're gonna catch a lot more of that.
No, just... but like aesthetically, I don't agree with the theory that he's actually younger. Like, you know, like I know because you know in sports, like I'm old now, but gender. That's like when they wanted me to believe Ellsworth was younger than me. It's like, no, no, I'm not doing that. That's not true. But yeah, anyway, next match is the second part of the Beat the Clock Challenge. This one is Breezango versus The Ascension, The Argonauts, The Assassins, The Armistice, like whatever they're called, right? Who cares? It doesn't matter. Fandango picked up the pinfall after hitting a Falcon Arrow on Victor. And he did it in 2 minutes and some seconds. So he won.
55 seconds, and the people were doing the Fandango.
The dance. Because yeah. we does the dance. So basically, to reiterate, Breezango are your number one contenders.
And Tyler Breeze was shocked. He was like, We won?
Yeah, I mean, you know, y'all were very worried about the kid. Y'all said, oh, he's Breezy Bella. Like, what are we going to do with the kid? They walked it back. They made them number one contenders. They'll probably lose, but maybe they'll make a good showing. Maybe they'll win. You never know. So
yeah, you got to have somebody hold the belts for when the New Day comes back, you know?
New Day rocks. It's nice. So Nene's in the back talking to Renee. She's like, yeah, Charlotte beat her last week, but she's out of her mind and she thinks she's the best ever. The best would be the champ. And if that's the case, that makes her Muhammad Ali and Charlotte's George Foreman. Ooh. And she says, Charlotte will feel the glove. So Nene comes out first. She takes a long look at the belt. It kind of looks like she's saying goodbye to the belt, but that's just because I'm a negative Nancy.
No, I'm going to tell you what I noticed. You know, lately when she does the slap, she shows the belt to the camera. She didn't do it this week, and I was like, fuck.
Yeah. See, we're like conspiracy theorists, like waiting for like the other shoe to drop on our Nene. Yeah. So we're just like, everything is like a sign of it's over. Right. So, like, I'm looking at this match like, no, it don't matter. Don't believe it. And at some point, it occurred to me in the match, it was going, I was like, I bet you them girls is going to come out and ruin it for Naomi. I was like, I bet you. And then somebody told me, they were like, girl, Charlotte came with the title on a BQ. And I was like, well, that's true. And I was like, I don't know. They're going to fuck it up somehow. I was like, we'll see. I couldn't figure it out. But this is what happened. Charlotte hits some chops. Naomi comes back with a jawbreaker, a hurricanrana, back elbow, neck breaker. Kind of hit a detonation kick for a near fall. She deposits for a rear view with a near fall. Charlotte counters with a hurricane rana into a sit out powerbomb. At some point, she like pulls Naomi all the way off the ring apron. Nene hurts her back. It's hard to come up from it back in the ring. Charlotte attempts a moonsault, and Nene got them knees up like a real one.
Both that was clutch. Down.
Yes, I was like, I'm proud of you, girl. Yes. Natty, Tamina, Carmella, Young Chinless all run down and attack basically Charlotte. And they get the DQ. Then, like, when Naomi tries to, like, come back into it, they, like, beat her up as well, then toss her from the ring. So they're not really going after Naomi. They're actually going after Charlotte.
We gotta come up with a name for Natty and her crew.
I like Natty Bo. I don't need no special name. Natty Bo.
Yeah. I've heard some names online, but they didn't make any sense. Like, someone called them, like, the Mad Blondes, but it's like, well, Charlotte's blonde, and she, why would the Jay invite her to be
insane?
Yeah, like, yeah. That doesn't work. Someone was like, a playoff of Pretty Mean Sisters, and how, like, that used to be a thing. Like, that could be, you know, PMS2 or something. I don't know. Yeah, but we need to put that out to the fans and see what they can come up with, because...
So, Carmella actually ends up kicking Charlotte in the face. The crowd chants, "We want Becky." She never shows up. I kind of thought she was going to do the run and save, but she didn't do it. As the show goes off, the heels pose, and you kind of see Charlotte in the ring, a little worse for wear, and Naomi like on the side, kind of looking like, got it. So yeah,
I still got my belt though, and I was like, yes. Like, thank you, Natty. Thank you, because last week I was disappointed. So disappointed they didn't do anything during that match, but I'm glad they saved it for this week.
When it really matters.
That's right.
Yeah, that, these non-title matches just kill me, because it does make the champ look weak if you have a champ lose a non-title match. But it was non-title, and then they have him fight the next week. Yeah, Charlotte could have easily...
That's that Nikki Bella booking. Like, yeah. She would lose every week except when the title was
open. Yeah, and then you keep a streak or something. It's like, well, I've been the champ for how long now? And it's like, yeah, because you lose all your non-title matches and win the pay-per-view. But I like the fact that, you know, this kind of turned Charlotte babyface, you know, with this faction coming up, and Natty is just, you know, so much. She plays a better heel than a babyface. So I think this is going to be great for the three of them to have this stable form. Anytime I see Tamina on screen is always a plus. And, you know, Charlotte and Naomi are going to, like, they'll probably team up, tag up, and this leaves Becky out in the lurch, or kind of like in, you know, kind of a mystery, like, was Becky going to side with the two faces, or is she going to, like, tease, you know, joining this new faction? Because they did ask her, are you with us or against us? And so it'll be interesting to see the segment next week on SmackDown Live.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Dee Dee, what did you think about this week?
Better than Raw.
Do we have to even say that at this point?
I know, right? It's kind of embarrassing. I'm sorry, friend.
G, what's up, man? What'd you think?
Yeah, I mean, all those stars that are on Monday, they still doesn't stack up to what they put out on Tuesday. I mean, it's a shame. And, hey, 2 hours is always an easier watch than three. You know, that's the age-old question. But, I mean, I'm more excited now for a SmackDown pay-per-view than the Raw pay-per-view that's coming up on the weekend. So.
Yeah, and you've got, like, another month to go before you get to another SmackDown pay-per-view. And that will be SmackDown. That will be a Backlash in Chicago, the Allstate Arena. And, of course, WrestleCast, the Globe member herself, Jade Cimax, has tentative plans to attend. So hopefully maybe we can get her on to be our guest in the review of that event, because that's always fun to have Jade on the show. And especially fun to have people who attend the shows be guests on the show. So,
yeah, big fan of Jade Cimax, too. Down with the Jade Army, as we're calling ourselves. I'm also down with Dee Dee Gang. You know, let's not get it twisted, but I'm a fan of many of our guests and listeners and talents on here. So,
yeah, you're Dee Dee Jonet guy.
Yes, yes. I'm still printing out the shirts. So, as we speak,
maybe you can get those shirts on to Busted Tees, sir.
We can. This podcast is being sponsored by Busted Tees. If you want to get, and it's warm outside, folks, it's like in the 80s, 70s, 90s this week. You want to get out there and show off with some cool, clever, funny, awesome t-shirts that are sure to get your friend's attention, get his attention, get her attention, get their attention with Busted Tees. These shirts are almost always on sale, and you can get you a nice, clever shirt of your favorite video game character, your movie character. We got movies coming out. They got shirts for them. Maybe you're into sci-fi, geek nerd stuff, Star Wars, May the 4th Be With You is coming up. Get you a Busted t-shirt, but do it through CSPN. Go to our website, cspn.us. That is cspn.us. Not ESPN. We are not firing folks here. We are CSPN. So go to cspn.us. Click on the Keep Our Podcast Free link at the top of the page. Scroll down to the Busted Tees banner and shop for funny, awesome, cool t-shirts that, once again, are sure to get your friends, girlfriends, boyfriends, lovers, wives, mistresses, or misters attention. Mm-hmm. Busted Tees through cspn.us. Do it today.
All right. Now we're going to move into Cruiserweight Action 205 Live. A tag team match with Rich Swann and Akira Tozawa versus Noam Dar and the Brian Kendrick. Match starts out fast with Noam Dar and Brian Kendrick trying to attack Swann and Tozawa, but the team of Swann and Tozawa turned around quickly. Akira Tozawa hits Noam Dar with the Shining Wizard, and they get to win. Tozawa told Kendrick that Dar was a poor partner, and lesson number four is always choose wisely.
Oh, and I noticed something here. By the way, I did watch 205 Live this week. Mm-hmm. Congratulate me. Akira Tozawa, when he spoke, had what in his mouth? A mouthpiece. I don't know if this is a Japanese thing. I don't want to start nothing, but he ready too.
Yes.
He always ready. And I like these lessons. He's turning the tables on Kendrick, who I know he's a man with a plan, but is that plan to wear any clothes that match? Because he's always like clashing every time out of the fashion cast. But I'm getting a lot in here because it's my first time watching 205 Live in months. You guys always do it for me, and I just can't believe what I've been missing. Good show.
Yeah, I'll have to go through that.
Yeah.
So we get a Neville promo about his match later tonight with Jack Gallagher. Neville says that Gallagher doesn't even belong in the ring with him. Neville says that the only person even close to the Neville level is DJ Perkins. We got to get some type of chart to signify the Neville level, kind of like the,
like a height chart.
Yeah. You know, one of those things like a thermometer where you fill it in. Like, it's not quite 100, but it's like 99.8, like your fever sometimes.
The Neville level. I like that. I like the fact that he's putting all these cool things on, you know, King of the Cruiserweights, the Neville level. You know, it's like he's making all the little nicknames and catchphrases for himself instead of having Michael Cole do it, because screw Michael Cole.
Drew Gulak says that he's here to make 205 Live great and declares that this is a no-fly zone, then joins the commentary desk. So we get Mustafa Ali versus Tony Nese. After Mustafa Ali hit a tornado DDT, he starts to set up for the inverted 450, but Gulak pulls Nese out of the ring to the floor, and the match is ruled disqualification. After the match, Ali dives on to Drew Gulak, and that sends him scurrying to the back.
Tony Nese is ripped. I told you this on Google Hangouts earlier, Don, and I have to reiterate, I'm going G-Chat. When I grow up, I want to get abs like Tony Nese. I might have to steal them off of him because I'm too old to try to get them myself. Jeez, that guy's ripped. He puts in the work.
Yeah,
appreciate it.
Pretty good wrestler too. He could. The 205 could be fantastic if they just let him go crazy. Yeah. But they don't let him go crazy, and they need to introduce some more tag team matches too. Because I think the tag team matches would allow more guys to shine a little bit, and allow for some, you know, cooler tandem spots too, which may add to a little, spice it up a little bit. But our main event is Neville versus Jack Gallagher in a non-title match. After hitting Gallagher with the rings of Neville on Gallagher, who taps out quickly. After the match, Neville isn't done with Gallagher. He attacks him again, and then Neville applies the rings of Neville again on the ramp. This makes Austin Aries come out. He makes the save, and he lays out Neville with the roaring forearm, and he puts Neville in the last chancery. And this is your lasting image leading into this Sunday when these two will face off for the Cruiserweight title.
Good continuation of the feud between Neville and Austin Aries. And even though Gallagher did kind of go out and, you know, sort of tap out to Neville's finisher, Gallagher, as we'll see later on, has had a pretty full week as far as, like, appearances. He's actually showing up on 3 of the shows this week. And so I give him props for that because, you know, he's been putting in a lot of work lately.
Yes. So we get NXT now, where Nikki Cross crawls into the ring. She calls out Ruby Riott, and they have a huge pull-apart brawl to start the show. Then we get some highlights of Hideo Itami hitting the GTS on Bobby Roode. Then Bobby Roode does a promo about what happened last week, and he tells Hideo Itami that he's going to have to earn his title shot. Then we get Cian Almas versus Drew McIntyre. I forgot what he calls his, like, running kick that he does, but yeah, he got the win using that. Actually, pretty good match. Cian Almas is actually supposed to be rumored to be coming up to the main roster. He was supposed to be one of the, you know, call-ups, but hasn't happened as of yet. But he's actually gotten a lot better. He's kind of grew into his character, cut out a lot of the nonsense he had going on with the dancing and suspenders. And so he's starting to kind of hit his stride. So he'll never be La Sombra again, but we can only wish. So next we get... So next we get Stephen Regal. He makes a match later on tonight between Nikki Cross and Ruby Riott. Then we get a Roderick Strong video package about his career and his life, his, like, early life. His parents, like, they really had some issues. His mom was a drug addict. His dad was an alcoholic. And, like, his mom shot his dad. And, like, yeah, like, a whole lot of overcome.
I watched this today, and this was, like, on the caliber of one of those E60 pieces. And it really got you to care about Roderick Strong. I mean, I don't know what kind of angle he's in right now, if he's in anything right now, but now it's like you feel like you want to root for him because of this. And it's a two-parter. Like, they got the next part next week. So
right.
The cool thing about it was they show all this tragedy, and then they show the good parts of him growing up. You know, like, they had a wrestling ring, and his dad was training with Jimmy Anvil Neidhart, and he's, like, learning to wrestle at age 13, and, you know, kind of. So it's like it's showing, like, his life story a little bit, and you really get –
again, I don't know why they're doing this for Roderick Strong of all people, but it really, I'm sure like Triple H was like, you have a great story. We got to tell it. And I think it's a smart move and a good way to build on the character. People that, you know, I saw people tweeting, you know, other wrestlers, fans, that they really like that piece and they're rooting for him even more now.
Right. G, what do you think about Roderick Strong? I know you followed him from the ROH days. Do you think he's got what it takes to be main roster material, or you think he's just going to be forever stuck in kind of NXT 205 land?
I think he does have it, but it's so many people now where it's like, okay, is this guy's turn? Wait, is this guy's turn? Nope. I think it's that guy's turn. It's just so many people that are ahead of him, but he does have his age is on his side. Like, there's a lot of guys, you know, they're towards the end of their prime now who are really trying to break it in. So that's an advantage for him. But he's just got to wait it out and stay healthy.
Yeah, and I think that's where the brand split and the fact that there's an NXT is helpful. I mean, he might stay in NXT for a while. I think this might position him to be like next in line for the NXT championship, you know, once if Rude still retains it after his current program. And like you said, there are a lot of guys out there, but if anything, this gets more fans behind him that otherwise wouldn't have cared, you know, because I think for a lot of us, you know, speaking for myself too, Roderick Strong was just another ROH guy that they just picked up. And so this kind of sets him apart a little bit from, you know, some of the other people that are out there.
Right. So we get Kona Reeves versus quickly becoming my new favorite, Aleister Black, a.k.a. Tommy End. Black gets the win after hitting the Black Mass spinning kick. He doesn't really get paid by the hour. His matches are really short, really quick, and that's the correct way that you build like a badass. I guess he's a babyface.
He's dressed like a Final Fantasy villain. And he's got the music as such and the entrance as such. I'm just like, is this guy's like a mini boss for Final Fantasy 13 or whatever? I just keep feeling like he's like a video game character. For those that keep up with any kind of adult entertainment, Kona Reeves this week, he got blacked. So there you go.
I don't know what that means, but
yes. Those that do know.
So we have Nikki Cross. Nikki attacks Ruby from behind as she was walking to the ring, and the two ladies. Ruby does a crossbody onto the security guards and Nikki Cross, and the security guards and refs finally separate them, and we basically had a no contest.
This is the new Peter and the Chicken. You guys got to watch out because these two are going at it, and it's fierce, and I think they're just going to be, you know, I mean, I know this is like, you know, this is kind of an offshoot of what, Sanity? Is that who Nikki Cross is with?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, but these two ladies, I think they're going to be, this is going to be like the new Bailey Charlotte or Sasha Charlotte kind of feud coming up. And I like Ruby, you know, I like her gimmick, her character, her look. I like Nikki Cross. I think the two of them are going to like pretty go pretty far. They're showing the fierceness in their battles right now. So more to come on that. I like it.
And NXT shows you that you can have like more than one, or you actually have three, you know, programs for women at one time. We've got like Who's Going to Face Asuka. We've got this one going on, and we've kind of got the Ember Moon iconic thing going on at one time too. So they got like three different women's things going on at one time. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, but they were pretty much, it was almost strong style. They were beating the crap out of each other using like the ramp and the ring. I mean, I watched this and I thought, my gosh, are we watching a hardcore match? These ladies are just like going at it. Like, you know, this is like the kind of fight, you know, when girls fight, this is not the girl fight you want to see. You're like, ooh, girl fight, cat fight. And you realize they're like actually punching each other. You're like, oh, wow. Y'all really hurting each other. Okay, I thought there was going to be some hair pulling.
This is quite jolting.
Yeah, this is a modern day women fight. This is real women fighting, and I like it.
We had our main event. We had Gentleman Jack Gallagher versus Tyler Bate in a UK title match. Great match, very technical. Of course, Jack Gallagher gets a gym break special on Tyler Bate a couple of times. Tyler Bate manages to escape. Bate hits a rolling front kick, and he falls as a driver 97, and he retains his UK championship.
A lot of rest holds, a lot of stretching of one another. I know that's kind of like the British style. And it was great to see, you know, with these two. Well, I guess you can say cruiserweights, you know, but the fact is they really, you know, got it done and represented for the UK. And I understand this. Did they announce it during the show that there's going to be a UK show?
Yes,
on
sir.
The network? So that was a good kind of lead into that, too. You know, so you're going to look out for more of those wrestlers from the UK tournament, some UK talents. You know, so I'm looking forward to that. But a good match altogether. And again, another great showing from Jack Gallagher, who's put on the trifecta this week.
Yeah, he's taking a lot of L's, but he's putting on some great matches. So another good effort from NXT. I really like the way they've been headed. Talk about Bobby Roode and Hideo Itami. Did you get to see that last week, or did you hear about it?
I did hear about it. I still haven't watched it because I'm a slave to my job. So, but maybe tomorrow.
You heard about Hideo Itami being reckless and taking out our boy Dash Wilder, huh? Heard about that?
Yeah, I did hear about that. Yeah.
That's just unfortunate. So, I mean, it's a who amazingly still wind up with title shots. Jinder Mahal, Hideo Itami. So,
yeah. Well, Hideo's been there for a while. I feel like, you know, he's kind of been like the lost or forgotten, import, so to speak, when they brought in him and Finn Balor and everything. It was kind of like, they came in together, and I think Kevin Owens was around the same time or just before, but it was like, you know, Itami was kind of relegated and he got injured, so it's kind of like he's still in NXT and, you know, I guess waiting for his chance to break out. So it's unfortunate that he's, you know, put somebody on the shelf, but at the same time, you know, if he's due, and you know, you got to reward the work that's put in. So at the very least, he can try to make the most of it with this program with Bobby Roode.
Right. So that's the end of our week in WWE. So now we're gonna go into our favorite thing to do here, which is play Who You Got, because this week we have Payback starting at 8 p.m. You can catch us on the live tweet with the hashtag #DABigPaybackCast. So the Big Payback Cast, same as last year. So if you have some time, go back, check out the thread from last year where the main event was Roman versus AJ Styles. And, you know, see what everybody had to think last year at this time when Payback came around. So, Didi, you got the scorecard? You ready to take down?
I'm ready.
The results? All right. So, and what Didi will not see in the hashtag Say No to Pre-Shows portion of the show.
We have, I know for a fact she says yes to pre-shows, but that's a whole different conversation. But
we have
Enzo. I don't say yes to pre-shows. We have
Enzo. That's not what I heard.
You know what?
Hey, I got the receipts.
Hey, Fabe. We have Enzo and Cass versus the Good Brothers. So, Ethan, this is your favorite tag team going up against your least favorite tag team. Who you got?
Why must you do this to me? You know I have
his own cast. Greg, who you got?
I'm going with Gallows and Anderson.
All right. Classic.
Gallows and Anderson, only because Enzo and Kaz are still like selling shilling for Universal Orlando, and they really don't need the win.
Well, because Enzo got murdered, and he's got murdered like 3 weeks in a row, they got to give him something. So I'm just going to go with Enzo and Cass. Me and Didi are going to ride together on this one.
Yay.
All right.
Join me in the, I doubt it, but let's hope so.
But I'm also, regardless of the outcome, I'm also doing a side wager for a post-match beatdown by Gallows and Anderson.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Highly likely.
There you go.
All right, next up, we have Neville versus Austin Aries, Cruiserweight title match. So, Mr. Greg, who you got?
Ooh, I'm going to go with Neville here. I think he keeps the run going.
All right. Miss Didi, Neville versus Austin Aries, who you got?
Because Austin Aries' life is an ethnic, I'll go with him.
Hard-hitting analysis by Didi Jones.
Listen, I don't know what to do. Like, it's back and forth. It's very level. I don't know what they're planning.
The Neville level.
That's how you know it's probably him, but that's okay.
Classic. Who you got?
Speaking of the Neville level, his new protege, who is trying to get to that level and trying to get out his Mega Man gimmick, is going to cause a distraction finish, so Neville will retain.
Yeah,
and
that sounds right.
Tom Perkins, as my closed caption called him today, is going to end up with a program with Austin Aries afterward. And there might be another post-match beatdown prop bet.
Mm.
Going to hit with the Mega Buster.
That sounds right.
I'm also going to agree with Neville. I think they're going to extend it out a little bit longer, let Neville keep the run going on, like Gray said, just because he's been so good. Maybe if Cedric Alexander is poised to come back on the scene, maybe he can come back on the scene and kind of get in the title mix too.
Where's the homie? What's he doing?
The homie's out here trying to get with Alicia Foxwell, but not really. He was wrestling.
I heard he was like, I don't even forget what you did to my best friend. I think that part.
But. Yeah, like, yo, what in the Cyril know the Bergerac is that, man? Like, you doing revenge flowers for your homeboy? Like, what the hell? What is this, Scream 3 or something, man? Yeah.
So we got the Hardy Boys versus Cesaro and Sheamus for the Raw tag team titles.
Ooh.
Classic. Who you got?
You're still making money and selling shirts as long as the Hardys have those belts. And I say they retain, although Sheamus and Cesaro, again, might be due again for another title run. But I don't say quite this time. This might end up going to a gimmick match of some kind.
All right. Didi, who you got?
This was Superman.
Yes. Yes.
At all times. I'm still in the section. We have to do our part.
Greg?
I would say full steam ahead just for the Hardys, but if they could get the deal done to where they could use their gimmick, you know, have them lose, have them come back to where this was, you know, this is what drove them over the edge, this is what made them broken again. It could be a nice way to do it, but that's if the contract, you know, the ink is dry on it. So I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Matt's going to have to fall off a ladder, which means it's going to have to be a ladder match. So I think we're still a little premature in that regard. But I like what you're thinking, Greg, because you know, it's going to have to come to that eventually. That's good money, and you know what? Anthem needs the money. They should sell that bad boy off, stupid right. owl.
So I'm going to go.
So who you got, Greg?
I'll go with the Hardy Boys retaining, because okay. I don't think they can get that deal done so quickly.
All right.
I'm going to go with the Hardy Boys as well, and I think Cesaro is going to go 8 when they lose and maybe turn heel and say, fuck Sheamus.
Aw, but their entrance is so cute now.
Well, they shouldn't have taken so long to
perfect. Yo, them old people are so arrogant.
That's going to be
amazing.
That's Iron Person match, sounds like
it. Right? Wow. Like the energy of all.
On Hump Day of all days.
Like Rebel? What?
Don't argue on Hump Day. Hump Day's for humping. You gotta, you right. know, and tell them to send them the code for Adam and Eve toys. You know, save a relationship.
I don't want to save the relationship. I want to be like, she's awful. Break up with her. I want to save this shit.
Yeah, that apartment life is sad. I hate it. Yo, I hated it when I had it.
When I was living in Virginia, it was one thing. These walls up in here. Yeah. Oh. Stainless paper.
Because the neighbors are either going at it or going at it, one or the other.
I would much prefer. Like, I could deal with that. I promise. I'd much rather deal with that than hearing these old ass people argue loudly, but not loud enough for me to catch the details. That shit's so
weird. Oh my gosh. All right. Our next match, Seth Rollins versus Samoa Joe. Didi, who you got?
But this game is so hard because it's like I pick who I want to win, not who I think will win, which kind of defeats the purpose. But I'm gonna go with Woke Bay.
Yeah, I figured that. Greg, who you got? Seth Rollins or Samoa Joe?
I'm going with Joe. I think there's some more life left in this, and it can be stretched out a couple more pay per views.
Okay, Classic. Who you got?
Seth has a new toy in that move of his, and you know, the Booker in me wants him to try that on Samoa Joe, and Samoa Joe to pull that Karate Kid 3 thing where he goes, you think you're going to beat me with that Kenny Omega crap and like choke him out? But this is for the kids and for little Jimmy, and he's a big fan of Seth Rollins, so I think Seth Rollins is going to move on and defeat him with this new gimmicky move where he was at the lariat or something, and he gives him the high knee. It's a high knee. Come on, Triple H, that's a setup for Triple H. What's wrong with you people?
It's the snowmaker.
Yeah. We'll see if that sticks. The snow sticks.
I'm going to go with Samoa Joe as well. I think that he's going to probably, like, go crazy, and they have to, like, throw the match out because he doesn't listen to the ref, and they can kind of build it up, like Greg said, where Seth Rollins is going to try to get some more revenge on him.
Well, if it's a DQ for Samoa Joe, would that mean Seth Rollins wins if he, like, loses it? Or do you think he's going to lose the choke out?
I guess technically, yes. So, no contest.
No contest? That's what you're going for?
Yes. There's always one match in the Who You Got game that always messes us up. So, I figured that's going to be the one.
Gotcha.
All right. So, Bayley versus Alexa Bliss for the Raw Women's title. Classic. Who you got?
Bayley retains. You further the drama with Sasha Banks either helping Bayley to retain or you know, or, you know, Sasha rescues her friend afterwards when Alexa Bliss, you know, gets her kicks in from being a sore loser. But I don't think the time is right now for Bayley to lose the title.
All right. Greg, who you got?
I say Bayley retains. I don't think she's going to drop the title again until some Raw episode down the road.
All right. Miss Didi, Bayley versus Alexa Bliss. You get it.
Bayley.
Yes.
But I do think there's a heel turn in the works for the boss. But they keep
putting little roadblocks in front of it, which is cool. Like, she almost turned like a couple of weeks ago, and then Alexa Bliss came out.
It's like she wanted to turn, but you're not going to treat her friend bad. Only she can treat her friend bad. So now I got to be nice to my friend because you're trying me. But you know I want to. I appreciate that. Like, sometimes you're not a heel. Sometimes you're just a bully. And you want to bully your friend without anybody interfering.
Okay. I'm going to go with Bayley as well. I think she's going to retain. Just it's our hometown. So
Wait, you didn't pick your move?
It should be the red flag that Alexa Bliss should win because it's Bayley's hometown, but...
But wait, I mean, other than Naomi at WrestleMania, Vince doesn't really let people win in their hometowns anymore.
Sure don't.
That's the red flag, but I'm still going to go with Bayley.
We all going to be wrong.
Yeah, well, Bayley's sneaky and deceptive, so she could pull out that victory.
Right. Next up, face of America, the new face of America, Kevin Owens versus Chris Jericho.
What's so funny there? Oh, the face of America.
Yeah.
Dee Dee. Who you got?
Well, considering I'm a friend of Jericho, I'm going with Jericho.
Okay.
Shrink it in, man.
Greg?
I'm going with Owens.
Who you got?
Jericho was leaving to go play the Devil's Rock and Roll.
Oh, yeah, that's true. So.
The Devil's.
Oh, well.
Classic. Who you got?
This is a tough call. I'm glad they finally cleared up what the stipulation is and like who it affects, because they were like, well, if Jericho wins, he gets to go to SmackDown with Kevin Owens. But, you know, it's like, does Kevin Owens go back to Raw or what? Or, you know, like who keeps the title? Too much confusing stuff for me. Kevin Owens retains, and Jericho either stays where he is or goes plays with Fozzie Bear and the Gonzos, as Greg was calling him.
I'm going to go with Kevin Owens as well, because, I mean, he's the new face of America. Why wouldn't I go with Kevin Owens? Simple as that.
A Canadian as the new face of America. This is what we've become.
I mean,
it's better than the current face of
America. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Touche.
Indeed.
So we have Randy Orton versus Bray Wyatt in the House of Horrors match.
Non-title. This would be a House of Mirrors.
Probably will.
That's what it looks like in my mind is the base motel with Norman in the corner and the rocking chair and the shit ton of mirrors. Like, that's what it looks like in my mind.
They had a House of Horrors match. Yeah. Rihanna.
Just asking.
They had a House of Horrors match at WrestleMania, so I don't see how they could have topped the cool graphics and the different Lost Boys references in the ring at Mania. Yeah, a Sister Abigail on a pole match.
I'm always asking for Abigail. Like,
eventually they will
listen. She's the answer to everybody's question. What could make it different? Abigail!
Abigail's remains on a pole match. That's it.
Not her remains, her body money. Like,
it's a classic.
Like, how cool if, like, her body would be in a chair and they'd be like, well, that's Abigail. He kept her body. Even though we already talked about the ashes. That's okay, though, because, you know, Abigail. And then, like, at some point, she just, like, walks up behind him and, like, knocks him out. Oh, my God, it'd be perfect. You don't even have to pay me for that, WWE. You're welcome.
And so, because this is an interpromotional match and it's just, like, a grudge match, this is non-title, is that the...
Correct, sir.
That makes no damn sense. But the fact that it is means that Randy Orton has nothing to lose by losing this match, and we really don't care about All Lives Matter Orton. Bray Wyatt is going to be the face of Raw, so let's keep him winning. He's going to win this one.
Okay. All right. Dee, who you got?
Who?
I mean, you, but I mean, we know who you got.
Oh,
but
please. I mean, just for
the sake of
making your
choice official.
It's officially Bray of the Wyatts.
Yeah, and then IRS is going to come out and beat down Cowboy Bob Orton in a bonus match afterward.
Oh, no, what if his dad really did, like, slap? slap Bob Orton across the face.
He's like, do your taxes. I told you to do your taxes. That cast is not a write-off.
Oh, that'd be funny.
I'm falling in line with everybody else. I mean, it's non-title. I mean, there's no reason why he shouldn't win this time. So I'm going with Bray Wyatt.
All right, I'm going with Bray Wyatt as well.
Gee, who you got on the bonus coverage legacy match that's going to happen afterward?
Oh, give me Cowboy Bob Orton all day, man. The loaded cast is always a winner.
Well, he's got the loaded Hep C too, right? I mean, you know.
Oh, God.
Just saying.
And then Irwin's going to come in with his briefcase. That's an illegal foreign object with all of his tax papers in it. I mean, it's after the 15th, but at the very least, he can still get his shit in.
That's a different era right there, man.
Yeah.
All right, then we get our main event. Braun Strowman versus Roman Reigns. I guess this is just a grudge match. I guess it's not a stipulation. It's just a grudge match. So
it's not an ambulance match?
No, it wasn't any stipulation that I heard put on it. They may draw something up at the last minute. So, Didi, who you got?
I'll stick with the Samoan. All right. I don't
know.
Sure, it's an awful idea, but gotta do it.
All right. Classic. Who you got?
You know, Roman called it his yard, and then he, like, pretty much got put in an ambulance afterward, which is kind of weird. But given the push that, you know, he's going to continue to get, I think this is Roman. And I mean, I say Roman by like a hair. You know, Braun's probably going to wreck him afterward again or something.
All right. Greg, who you got?
I'm going against my heart here because I say you just let Braun win, set him up. So he probably go against Lesnar maybe down the road at SummerSlam. But I think Roman Reigns. Vince has too much of a hard on for him, so he'll win.
Right. I'm going to also agree with everybody and say Roman Reigns as well, even though I hate to see Braun lose another match just because I think the push for him has been fantastic and he's turning into a big, big star right before our eyes. But I think they're going to do whatever they can to try to make us love Roman. So here's another chance for them to do that. So that's what they're going to do. So that's who you got for this week. We will, of course, keep a running tally during the live tweet. And again, the hashtag for that is the Big Paycast. Follow along with the hosts and fans of the Razzlecast starting at 8 o'clock.
What's that hashtag again, just so I'm clear?
Yes.
The Big Paycast. Gotcha.
Yeah, like the Big Payback. But okay. Paycast.
Yeah. So if anyone puts the Big Payback cast, we're not going to respond to you. We're just going to shun you.
Right.
Shun. That's too long.
You have the wrong. Okay. So at this point, we're going to open it up to everybody, sort of their shout outs and their thank yous. So, G, shout outs and thank you, sir.
Oh, well, hey, big shout out to, you know, you guys holding it down every week. You know, I'm out, you know, exploring the different territories, you know, trying to set up booths, get people to sign, well, signing pictures for people, getting them to buy it. But it's nice to be back here this week. And it was nice doing business with the chairman. That's always a cherry on top. Shouts out, just besides you guys, this guy shout out the lovely Louisiana food that I had with my wife this evening. It was top notch. I will probably pay for it in the morning. That's all I'll say, but it was definitely worth it.
All right, you're not talking about Popeye's Finest, sorry.
No. This was actual stuff made by former citizens of the great state of Louisiana.
Oh yes.
What?
Yes, authentic.
Yes.
Gotcha, man. What you have? You know, etouffees, crawfish. What you have?
We went for some catfish, some pork chops, and some sort of seafood dip. They had some bread pudding. We got talked out of the beignets, but since it wasn't actually in, we weren't actually in New Orleans, we just said we wouldn't go with the beignets. So
that's probably smart.
Yeah. But good stuff.
All right. Classic.
I want to shout out, of course, my man Greg coming back. A pleasant surprise. I didn't know he'd be back today. You know, I'm always glad to be on with some of the, you know, some of our great talents here on the WrestleCast. Shout out to Samuel. I know you're busting it, working hard, trying to make a living. We do miss you here on the show, or at least I know I miss you. And I'm sure I speak for your co-hosts and say that your seat's always warm. Come on back when you're ready to. Big fat diss to JBL. Fire JBL. That's my mantra. I want to shout out to the Great White North. Was up in Edmonton last week, had some good times. Everyone was like, "Hey, what's Lance Storm like?" He's from Calgary, Alberta, Canada, and that's a different town. The only thing Edmonton has as far as claim to fame and as far as wrestling is Chris Benoit, the Family Killer, was billed from there, but he was born in Montreal, so I can't really say that I was in Benoit country. No one mentioned him. In fact, they were all about the Oilers. Shout out to the Edmonton Oilers. Had a great hockey game that I attended last week, and it was actually a playoff game. It went to overtime between that and the Molson and the fights. Had a great Canadian experience. And when the Oilers won that game, they played Sami Zayn's theme music. So I was out there working out like, yes, this is really, truly Canadian right here, you know. So, you know, great times. And again, shout out to you guys on the WrestleCast. Shout out to the WrestleCast family. Oh, and finally, shout out to Cast of Strong Style. Don, you've put together a great show, and you found the next great talent on the CSPN. In fact, I say she's already there. JPK Moto is fantastic, fantabulous. If you've not listened to Cast of Strong Style, please do. She's probably like my favorite thing about the network right now. No offense to any of my other favorite people on the network, but she's like the hottest star going right now. And I'm a JPK Moto guy now, too. Yeah. Print the shirt.
Rants and Raves by JPK Moto.
She's a genius, Don. You need to get down with some of her genius and follow that, and you know, get under the tutelage, because you're slipping, Don.
That's the same question I pose to her every week.
She knows her stuff. She's like the Mike Tenay of like Japanese of New Japan. She really, like, you know, she has it all together. And the ticking time bomb thing, I can't even do it. She does it so well, and oh my gosh, she's just amazing to listen to.
Yeah, so big shout out to Moto. So, Ms. Didi Donay, your shout outs.
I give a shout out to Mel, because Mel always gets shout outs.
She does.
She deserves. Shout out to this wine that's popping. Shout out to this family vacation I'm going on in June. Hopefully, I will finally get legitimate stamps in my passport. Hopefully, they're not no hater hoes like Bermuda was. No shade.
You were still in the U.S., technically.
I don't care. I want stamps.
TSA is still going to pat you down.
I needed a passport, then that means I need to get a stamp.
Yeah.
Damn it.
I was afraid of coming back in the country when I went to Canada. Like, they was going to, like, try to keep me, ever detain me.
Oh, yeah.
So I got two Muslim first names. I got an Islamic first and middle name, and I was like, oh, man, they're going to, like, detain me. And they're going to be like, well, we can't let you in the country. I'm like, well, I guess I'm going to be in Canada from now on, of all the places.
It's classic. Come visit me.
Visit. She better come. Yeah, she better come up here and get this free health care. We was ready to go. I was about to go live up in Stu Hart's dungeon and like just practice my moves and just hang out up there. Yeah, but thankfully Trump's America does not stretch as far as customs. So, but have a good time on your trip, Didi.
Yeah, thank you. I'll be on for a week, so you'll have to find somebody. But that's not till June. You've got time.
Thank you for the heads up. The booker appreciates that.
I know you do. Professionalism. Shout out to Don for being such a professional.
Remember to apply officially for a vacation, so remember to turn that in with me.
Come on, leave report. Come through. PTO form. Annual sit. What are we doing here? Yes. Shout out to my boss, because I have talked stuff, but I did get a little gift for Administrative Professionals Day, and I am an administrative professional, and I do my job damn well. Yes, thank you. So, shout out to her, and then shout out to the free pizza that I got today. That was nice. And shout out to all my little friendly friends. If you come into my little party, it's not a party, but my party, if you come in, I'm very happy to have you. If you want to come, let me know.
I gotta check my mail, because I don't think
it should come. Because okay. A lot of people got it, like, this week. Like, Twink got her on Tuesday. Anyway, yeah. I'm done.
All right. I'd like to give a shout out to Sam, the host of the WrestleCast. I'd like to give a big shout out for Greg joining us. Also, a big shout out for Didi always being with me. Big shout out to Classic for helping put together the show, doing the parting promos, doing all the editing, staying up late, getting everything out on time.
Oh, yeah. One other thing. I got a playlist going. Best of the parting promo. I'm going to actually release it as an episode on this channel soon. I'm not going to say this week, but sometime soon you're going to see it here. Best of the parting promos, volume one. I think you people need to hear it, because it's like all I listen to in the car now are just all the parting promos. I just marvel at our work all the time and go, yeah, this is my favorite. This is good.
Oh, yeah. The Braun Strowman big crit last week was phenomenal.
Yeah, so I want people to get that. So Best of the Parting Promo Volume 1 coming soon. And we do take requests, folks. So if there's something you want to hear, blend it together. Let Don or I know on the Twitter.
Yes, yes. Give a shout out to the Glow, all the gorgeous ladies at WrestleCast. Give a shout out to everybody who shows up, like I say, every week in the Rawcast, SmackDown Matters. Don't forget this weekend, the Big Paycast, starting Sunday night at 8 p.m. For those of us that start watching at 7 p.m., hashtag say no to pre-shows. We'll see you there as well. And if you would like to be on the WrestleCast, just follow the Twitter at the WrestleCast. Follow me at Don Delorente, and we can make it happen. Reviews, rate reviews, give us shout outs, you know, help, you know, promote the podcast, share the podcast, spread the love. Some of your friends who like wrestling, let them know about us. So, you know, we can all grow and have a larger community.
Yeah. Oh, and finally, shout out to the Decepticonics, our friends. They wrecked Chicago. In fact, Hannibal Buress, you know, surprised them and joined their show and, you know, actually performed along with them. You know, so that was a treat. And, of course, you know, our other friend, Felonious Monk, was also with them in Chicago. The Decepticomics tour, the Down Forward Port Punch tour, is continuing to roll on through many cities. If they pass your city, too bad, catch them next time. But if they haven't passed your city by now, and I think they're in like Indiana right now, or as you hear this, check out DecepticComics.com for tour dates. You might still be able to get tickets and catch them inside, because you know, if you do it now before they get major, then you won't have to worry about ticket prices. But after they blow up, and you'll be like, oh man, I remember when the such and such was on the Bad Advice show, and the, you know, you don't want to be caught in the lurch. Catch the sector comics when you can in your town, in your area. Support good black comedy.
That's right, man. It's a great show. The guys really work hard, and the guys are really, really funny. Really, really funny. Everybody's going to have different type of styles, but everybody is going to definitely make you say, I have my money's worth when you leave the show.
Dumb funny.
Shot with them a couple of weeks ago in Chapel Hill. It was great. Great. So for Greg, a.k.a. Magnum Prime, for Didi Jonet, our SmackDown Matters correspondent, and the chairman, Classic Materia, I'm your host, Don Delorente, and this has been the WrestleCast, episode 131.
Who are you to doubt, old dandy?
We're moving into the future. I mean, I got you that jacket because I want us to move past everything that's happened between us. You know, if we're going to go out there tonight and be partners, to really be effective, and have maximum continuity, all right? I'm going to need something from you. Small. What? Dude, I'm going to, I'm going to need you to take that for us. I know you. I know I'm on that list. I can't. I feel weird about it. I feel weird in my soul being on the list. First of all, nobody gets taken off the list. Okay? No, no, hold on.
That's why Pennsylvania never races,
bro. Second of all, this is in pen. Okay? Second of all, why would I take you off the list? Okay? You still owe me $15,000 from the light-up jacket that you destroyed.
But this one is like just as good, dude. I can't even tell the difference between this one and the original.
Yeah, it's a nice jacket.
It's not bad.
But there's still another thing. There's the Ambrose Asylum match. You powerbombed me into a pile of thumbtacks. Okay, I had to pull 69 tacks out of my flesh. One, I said, two,
it was,
three.
But it was really cool. I'm sorry. I wouldn't do it again.
Yeah, but
probably.
Okay. This is a pretty cool jacket, though. I mean, I really do like this jacket. I mean, it's very unique, and it's definitely all the rage on the runways of Paris. So,
I knew it. That's what I said.
You know what, Ambrose? You know what happens when you get Chris Jericho a new light-up jacket from Paris? Huh? You know what happens when you give Chris Jericho a peace offering right before you're his tag team partner on Raw? You know what happens, Ambrose? You just unmade the list!
Yes! That's what I'm talking about. Now we're a team. Now we're ready to go out there. We're going to destroy the Miz. Whoever his partner is, we're going to destroy him. We're going to be a wrecking machine. Most recent rockers. LOD. Tonight, me and you.